Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished leader from the social sector from India, Mr. Kushal Raj Chakravarti. Kushal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Mr. Chakravarti is the founder and managing trustee of the Lotus Petal Foundation, which has been set up with the primary objective to create equal opportunities for underprivileged children living in urban and semi-urban areas. He has also been recognized, awarded, and felicitated several times. Kushal, what an amazing journey you seem to have had. So before we start discussing Lotus Petal Foundation, tell me about your own journey from the corporate sector to the social sector.
So, I completed my MBA from Indian Institute of Management and then got into a corporate career. And I worked in the corporate sector for almost 18 years. Mm-hmm. And I had a really enjoyable experience. I worked primarily with two companies, really good organizations, got fabulous exposure, traveled the world over, did many different things, and it was really good. Having said that, there was always a sense of that there is something which is left to be done, and there's a feeling of a lack of fulfillment, and that was there with me, all the time. And it so happened that in the November of 2011, I was in Gurgaon at home, and I was dropping my children off to school. And if you were with me on that bitter cold morning, you would have seen that there were two children walking barefoot, no shoes, no caps, no sweater, to a nearby school which was run in a temple. And you would also have seen my own children who were in the best winter wear. And yet, I was feeling that whether this is good enough or not. Yeah. And I was greatly disturbed by, what I saw in that moment of time.
Yeah.
And that moment of time actually turned out to be something which changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
I was very disconcerted. I went to this temple that weekend, and I found that it was not just these two kids, but there were over 250 such children who really were braving the bitter cold of Delhi NCR and without much winter wear. Mm. So I thought that the least I could do was to give them shoes, caps, socks. And that's how the journey of Lotus Petal started. And once I gave them this winter wear, I experienced an amazing sense of fulfillment, something which I had never experienced in my life. And that feeling is still fresh inside my heart.
Mm.
That started a process where, alongside my corporate job, I started to help the nonprofits in the city of Gurgaon, trying to share my time with them, helping them with their work, or sometimes donating a few things. And that kept on happening over a period of a year. And then in the winter of 2012, I was back at the school and to give shoes because the children had outgrown them.
Mm.
And then I saw this boy. He seemed around 15 years old, but he was in grade 5.
Mm.
So I asked him that, okay, why are you in grade 5? He said that the school is up to grade 5, and he had tried to go to a private school, EWS. He went to a government school, but he didn't see that, there was much in it for him.
Mm.
Because he liked this place, he was studying here in grade 5 for the last 5 years.
Wow.
Then it was not just this boy. There were many other children studying at grades far lower than their age.
Mm.
And when I dwelled into this topic, I found that it was not a problem just of Gurgaon, but it is across the country. And there are an estimated 60 million children who are out of school or studying at grades far lower than their age.
Wow.
This was very, very disturbing for me to see this children languishing in the education system.
Mm.
It became economically viable for their parents. And in the best case scenario, one would become an auto rickshaw driver or a maid. And many would find a place in the underbelly of society. And this really stayed with me, and I used to feel that, you know, what can I do to change this? I felt that it was too big a problem for me to tackle. But then the thought came to me that at least the children who are in front of me, what can I do for them? That's how the first program of Lotus Petal called Pratishthan was born, in which the idea was to take these 12 to 14 year olds from their current levels of learning, which was around grade 4 or grade 5, straight up to 12 in 5 years, along with a vocational skill, make them digitally literate. They can be able to speak fluently in English and one more language, and mainstream them so that they can start a job based on education, so that over a period of time, they can increase their earnings.
Absolutely.
So that's how it started in 2013, one room in a shopping arcade near my home. No teacher was willing to come and teach in this fast-track manner, but one teacher agreed. He was a maths teacher. Soon, many other teachers came. People joined the mission, and one thing led to the other. And in 2016, the number of children had grown tremendously. And I felt that this is where I need to put in my energy, my time. And that's when I decided to leave my corporate career, dedicate myself to serving the underprivileged children so that, you know, they can start a life, a job, a livelihood based on education. So that's how the journey shifted from corporate to social sector.
Amazing. What an amazing journey, Kushal. But then my next question before I get into more details is in a very corporate style. Where are you today? And then we'll talk about how you got there. How many children do you have? How many locations do you have?
So right now, as we speak, we have two campuses. Mm-hmm. One is the old campus, which we had started way back in 2013. Mm-hmm. So here we have approximately 700 children who are studying in the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have started a new campus. This is in the outskirts of Gurugram. It's the Lotus Petal Senior Secondary School, which right now has 600 students. And we have plans to scale it up in the next 3 years to almost 10,000 students, which will make it the biggest philanthropic school in the country. Apart from this, we also run a digital platform for education. We conduct live interactive classes. So as of now, we have around 140 partner schools, which are some are government, some are non-profit schools, wherein we are taking classes, and approximately 6,000 students are taking classes.
Amazing.
So that's where we are. We have around 170 odd people who work for us. We call them change makers. And we're all at it every single day so that more and more children can get quality education.
Amazing. What an incredible journey, and I believe this has just started for you. Amazing. So let's now talk a little bit, Kushal, about, let's first start with how is the word underprivileged defined? Is there a government definition, or is it just an economic definition?
I think it's an economic definition. Which is, like you could say, the people who are underserved or who are not able to have an access to, you know, education, healthcare, and the economic opportunities. In the government definition, there is something called an economically weaker section, for which a certain norm of income is defined.
Correct.
When we talk about underprivileged, what we talk about is, children who come from families where parents started school, but they had to drop out because of economic situations, or they did not get the quality education, and they are doing like menial labor jobs. So that's the kind of definition we have for the underprivileged, and they are living in the margins of society, and they are lacking access to quality education, to nutrition, to healthcare. So that's how we actually look at it.
Amazing. And you said that, you know, your first story that you narrated was about those two children who you saw walking in winter without shoes. So that is one challenge where, you know, there isn't enough clothing. Then you saw the challenge about education. What are some of the inequality in opportunities that you have seen for underprivileged children?
So, Ashutosh, the inequality starts in the mother's womb. The children, they are born to mothers who don't get sufficient nutrition. So by the time they are born, they already are cognitively behind a child who would have been born in a regular family. So the disadvantage starts right at the time when they are born. Then typically they would enter the formal education system by the age of 5 or 6 years, which is around 2.5 years behind that of a regular child. And then the learning gap which begins, it just keeps growing because of poor elementary education, poor nutrition. Parents are unable to guide them for education. And gradually, by the time they are adolescent, their learning levels are of grade 3 or 4, they lose interest.
Right.
That's one big challenge which is there. Second is nutrition. Even after they are born, the first 5 years is really important. And lack of adequate nutrition, that really creates a big impact. The third thing which I have seen is that healthcare, in an underprivileged child, unless the ailment becomes something which is intolerable, the medical treatment is not sought. There was a boy in our school, he had a rash all over his body. When I took him to the doctor, who was a skin specialist, he said that you need to see an ENT specialist.
Mm-hmm.
What has an ear doctor got to do with this?
Correct.
And then we came to know that he had gone to the village 6 months back, taken a dip in the swimming pool, picked up an ear infection, which had worsened day after day, and he was scratching, and that's how the rash spread into his whole body. Wow. And 25% of his hearing was lost because the eardrum had got ruptured. So this is another thing which is a very big disadvantage about the health. So all these things actually, culminate by the time they are adolescents, they enter the adulthood, and they have no other option but to start a menial labor job. Then they get married, they become fathers and mothers of children whom they cannot guide for education, and they get trapped in the vicious cycle of poverty.
Wow.
So that's how it just keeps going generation after generation.
And, when you address the challenges of education, healthcare, and nutrition, give me some examples. And examples are the best way to communicate all the great work that you're doing. Of the work that Lotus Petal Foundation is doing to help in each of these three areas.
So I'll share a couple of examples. So the first student at Lotus Petal, she came to us when she was 14 years old. She had learning levels of grade 5, and this was the year 2013. And the moment she walked into that one room school, I asked her, I asked her a name. She said, "I'm Saloni." I said, why do you want to join this one room school with 5 or 6 children can sit? And she said, "I want to become a doctor." And that's why I want to come here. So, she started in 2013 with grade 4 learning levels.
Yeah.
In 2016, she completed her grade 10. So she covered 6 years in 3 years' time. After that, in 2018, she completed her grade 12. Then we put her into one of the premier coaching institutes to prepare for NEET. And, there we have to provide all kinds of support for her, just in that environment where the children from privileged families coming from cars, and she has to be there. We've got new dresses for her. We took her to cafes to get her used to the mainstream. And then in 2019, she cleared NEET and got into a medical college.
Amazing.
And now she's a third year student. So you can see that the education intervention took a child who was in grade 4 learning levels, and in 2019, she's in a medical college.
Nice.
So this is what the education can do. There are many children, we have seen that when they get the right nutrition, especially in the pre-primary, in the nursery, kindergarten, grade 1, we give them a special breakfast, which really is a big dose of nutrition for them. We have seen how their cognition improves dramatically in a very short span of time. So these are some of the things which is there. There's one girl, Gudiya. She was a recipient of the shoes in 2011, the first time round. And at that time, she was in grade two. She was, I think, 11 years old. And 2018, I discovered that she had come into our fast track program. And now, as we speak, it's been a year that she works as a software testing executive in a multinational company in Gurgaon. While she still lives in the Silokhera, the village slum areas, but she actually works in a really nice office, in a nice environment, and she's broken the ceiling. And her family will also break the barrier of poverty, and she will have a tremendous amount of social mobility. So nice. These are some of the things how, you know, we are able to bring nutrition, education, livelihood to create an ultimate impact in the life of the child.
How amazing. Thank you for sharing these two amazing stories, especially Saloni's story. My God, I mean, you know, God bless her. God bless you with more power. But Kushal, you know, all the work that you're doing needs funding.
Yeah.
How are you sourcing a lot of the funding? And how do people who would like to fund you get involved with you?
So, it started, you know, by me putting in my own savings, and at one time also took a personal loan to keep it going. And then I realized that, you know, I need to seek money from others, and there are enough people in this world,
yeah,
a lot of goodness in their heart who want to give. So anybody wanting to, you know, partner with us, we are most welcome. We are a certified nonprofit in India. We also have organization in the US and in UK through which people can make grants and donations. And there are multiple ways in which you could donate. Every sum of money is welcome. Even a very small of money goes a long way here. And with the new school coming up, we are looking at, you know, people who want to partner with on a lifelong basis to make sure that children continue to get higher education. Anyone could go to our website and you could make a donation. You could come and do volunteering with us. Volunteering is also very important. It's like the fourth dimension of education. Children develop confidence when they speak to people they don't meet every day. They learn new things. So you could do that. You could spread the word about us. And one of the key ingredients of why we have been able to scale up rapidly and grow is that we have been very open for people to come and participate and make it their own. And this is really a community-driven initiative of common people. And we are always, always looking forward to people to come and partner with us.
Fascinating. Kushal, you also have vocational programs like Jivika and Blue Coach.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about these vocational programs and do give one or two examples.
So Jivika basically is the livelihood intervention. And this is looking into multiple trades for which there is a demand in the industry in terms of jobs. So for the children who are in the fast track program with us in the fourth and the fifth year, one of the years is dedicated for the skill development. So there are courses in BFSI, in digital marketing, in retail, front office. So we equip them with the skills. We also ensure that they get some kind of project experience at a retail outlet or in the back office of any of our corporate partners. And then the certification that they get is from NSDC. And through that, they're able to get jobs. Like the girl Gudiya I talked about. So she was certified in few of these things through which she was able to obtain a job. One of our students from the first batch, Puneet, he did a course in tailoring and dressmaking, and then he got a job in a Hong Kong-based MNC as a quality assessor. It's a textile company. And for the last 4 years, he's been working there. And so these are some of the ways in which Jivika helps. So it's very important to equip these children with the skills through which they can earn a livelihood. They either do something on their own or they're able to get into a job. Blue Coach was a response from our side to the situation in the country after the COVID-19 pandemic. For the informal job workers, which is primarily what most of the parents of our students do, there is no job portal where they can go and get a job. So we decided that we'll set up a hyperlocal job site called Blue Coach, in which we will upload their profiles and connect to all our donors, especially in the city of Gurgaon locally. and see if, you know, they are looking for a driver or somebody to come and work at home, and they could get back to their jobs.
Mm.
That was the thought, and we were able to place 15-20 of the parents of our students.
Mm.
And that continues now, but because the pandemic is pretty much gone, people are able to freely look for jobs.
Mm.
It's not that relevant right now, but at that time, it really helped many of the parents to get a job. And because of that, they stayed in the city, and the children were able to be kept in the education system. Mm.
Fascinating. So I have time for two more questions. My next question is, what is the kind of support that society and government is giving or can give you?
So, you know, society has to support this, because it is very important to have an equitable, you know, society.
Mm.
And I feel that all the privileged people, it's their duty to support causes like ours or
Correct.
Anyone who is working in this
Correct.
Field, especially in our country where only 25 out of 100 students who would start school
mm.
are able to go into college.
Mm.
And I think the 25 who make it and by that are able to build a life, really it's their duty to educate
mm.
ones who are left behind. So I think society can help by contributions, monetary contributions, by contributing in kind, mm. by giving their time. These are the ways in which society can really help us.
Right.
As far as the government is concerned, we do partner with the various government schools,
mm-hmm.
which we are trying to fill the gap which is there because of shortage of teachers. And I think that cooperation is really important, because I think both the government and organizations like ours can work collectively to ensure that the last mile execution
mm.
happens in the best possible manner. And if we have people, you know, who are really committed and wanting to make a difference, that really acts a force multiplier for the various development schemes that the government comes out with.
Mm. Amazing. And my last question to you, Kushal, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey of from the corporate world to Lotus Petal Foundation and all the wonderful things you are doing, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
One very important learnings which I have, one is the power of one. Every individual has the capacity to make a difference in this world.
Correct.
And if we should believe in that, start small and finish big.
Right.
Is that there is no obstacle which is greater than the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, there is no greater joy than the joy of giving. And the joy of giving is something where the law of diminishing returns really doesn't work.
Mm.
Giving more and more, and the more you do, the more you want to do.
Mm.
And enjoy. So I think joy of giving is really very powerful, and it can be life-changing for any individual.
Fabulous. And on that note, Kushal, and your three wonderful lessons that never underestimate the power of one, as you have demonstrated it so beautifully, where we can all make a difference. There is no obstacle greater than the purpose. And that, again, is something which is so important. A lot of us tend to give up when we find an obstacle. But if the purpose is clear, it'll keep going. And your third one of the joy of giving, which is so important. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me about Lotus Petal Foundation and the amazing work that you're doing. I mean, your story of Saloni, I think I will remember all my life, you know, or whatever is left of it. And the story of how you started when you saw these two children not wearing any shoes. Thank you so much for speaking to me and for sharing your story, and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.